Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, joining you live from the Bustos Media Studio in rainy Tucson, Arizona on this Wednesday commute. Happens to be one of my most favorite times of the year is monsoon season. And here it is hitting us, right? As that wet desert rain falls and makes that creosote smell, absolutely positively one of my favorite times of the year here in the Sonoran Desert. Now, it doesn't happen to be one of the busier times of year, of course, for the Tucson restaurant and hospitality scene. And so we like to do things to try to keep our staff morale up. I found over the years that one of the biggest things I could do for my kitchen crew to make them happy, besides for bringing them a six-pack of beer, which has been illegal under Arizona Title IV liquor law for about the last 20 years or so, is to bring them an EG's come summertime. One of Tucson's original local delights, right? Nothing makes the kitchen crew happier than dropping a couple party packs of watermelon EG's. July happens to be my most favorite year of the month when they release the watermelon. And when I drop that high fructose corn syrup and yellow dye number 5 and slightly artificial watermelon flavor on the crew, nothing makes them happier. Reading in the local news yesterday on KGUN 9, a story came out that said that they are going to release as a limited run on July 26th a pickle flavored EG's. What, you might ask? That sounds insane. Originally, this was an April Fool's joke, right? But it got so much traction on social media that starting in just 2 days, there's going to be a pickle-flavored EG's coming up to you and all of your local EG's restaurants, a limited time only, July 26th through the 31st. Don't miss out. I'll give it a test run on my crew and report back to you as well. On other local news, it seems like the Rito Downs is going to not have horse racing again next year for the calendar year of 2025. For those of you who are disappointed and upset by that news, like myself, let me break this one down for you a bit. Horse racing is an incredibly difficult and unprofitable sport. There's only a few horse racing tracks remaining inside the state of Arizona. The big daddy of them all is up in Phoenix. It's Turf Paradise, run by Jerry Sims. There's Arizona Downs in Prescott, and there is the Rito Downs here in southern Arizona. An amazing facility that has been used as sort of a multi-use, multicultural park for most of the last couple of decades. We've got soccer fields. We do the farmers market. There's been a host of local concerts. The Celtic Festival is here. The Dusk Music Festival. All kinds of neat things have happened at the Rito. However, there seems to be a tremendous blowback in recent years on the Rito doing just about any sort of events at all. As somebody that volunteered and helped run the bar program at the Dusk Music Festival for the first few years of its inception when it was at the Rito in 2016 and 2017, I can tell you that we received an awful lot, and by awful lot, I mean 4 or 5 noise complaints from neighbors. And essentially, the concert was run out of the Rito Downs, where it was welcomed with open arms into the downtown area, and Rio Nuevo picked them up and has helped out Dusk. And since then, we've attempted to do a number of other local concerts, and it's been met with a great degree of ire from a very few but very vociferous group of neighbors that have prevented the Rito from not only doing live music in concert form, but also preventing the live music from happening after the horse races on Saturday and Sunday. Now, I'm talking live music at 4:30 and 5 p.m. on a Saturday and a Sunday in a 10,000-person county park facility. If you can't do live music outdoors at 5 p.m. on a Saturday and a Sunday in a park of this size, where can you do it? What are we going to do with this facility if we can't use it for this? Located at First and River Road, it's ideally in the epicenter of Tucson. What an amazing property that we could have all kinds of other local cultural food events or concerts. And instead, in some capacity, we've let 2 or 3 neighbors who obviously have some degree of political connections basically shut down live music and alternative events on this horse racing track. And as we talked about at the beginning of the show, horse racing doesn't have a bright economic future in the long term either way. We're dependent on horses running in Phoenix so that we can get the sort of secondary leftover ones to come down here and fill up the Rito's races. And subsequently, beneath us in Sonoyta, there's horse racing, and they're dependent on the Rito Downs, and they get our seconds. So in Phoenix, track talked about closing last year and decided that they were not going to do horse racing because the highest and best use of that land was no longer being turf paradise, and they went into a due diligence period. Horse racing in Phoenix came to a halt, and that caused horse racing in Tucson to come to a halt, and ultimately in Sonoyta as well as you go down the train. And so it's looking less and less likely like there's going to be a group to be able to bring horse racing back to southern Arizona anytime soon, because if they don't continue at Turf Paradise, we're not going to have the high quality number of thoroughbred and quarter horse horses to compete in races that are safe and enjoyable. And to me, this would be quite lamentable. We've got a cultural and social event that drives 5,500 people in attendance every Saturday and Sunday in February and March, and it really breaks my heart that we could potentially lose a facility like that. Now, we're going to follow up with that one in the next few weeks as we look into the county RFP, request for production, request for proposal process, and see if there are any groups out there willing to take on this challenge and bring this one back. I got an opportunity to take a little bit of a vacation over the last couple of days. Met my old college roommate up in Seattle, Washington, and visited Vancouver. He happens to live up there and work for a little company called Boeing, because after graduating from the University of Arizona, there wasn't exactly jobs like that here in the old Pueblo. And walking down the streets of Vancouver taught me a couple lessons. First and foremost, what a beautiful city, right? Like right on the ocean with ferries taking you between a number of vibrant restaurant and bar communities. And one of my favorite things is to walk through cities like this and take it on foot. And as I did, and as I stepped between the trendy bars and restaurants and coffee shops, I happened to notice a lot of the similar problems that we're having here in the old Pueblo. There was open drug and fentanyl use, right? In what was another city, it kind of reminds me of how we also have it bad here as well, but this is happening in other cities. And as I met the Canadian locals, they told me that they've gone to full legalization, that there is a tolerance for open drug use that has absolutely gone the other way so far that it's actually becoming a tremendous problem to even progressive Canadians who are absolutely for socialized medicine and governmental intervention and all the things, and who are proudly left of center and proudly Canadian. And so many of those citizens told me that their society has been going absolutely the wrong way without proper enforcement. And so when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about proper enforcement of the law. I've got Pima County Attorney candidate Mike Jetty coming up live to talk about how his campaign is coming up on that campaign trail. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Hey, welcome back. Thanks for spending part of your morning commute here with us on Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. And today we've got a special guest in studio. We are live with Pima County Attorney candidate Mike Jetty. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Grant.
Hey, really excited to have you here today. This is our last Jump in Tucson show before the Democrat primary coming up this upcoming Tuesday, July 30th.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I just want to make sure I do my PSA. If you haven't voted yet, you still can vote. You can vote at the early ballot centers and visit MikeJetty.com for those locations, and make sure you vote by July 30th. That's the primary date.
So can residents bring in their mail-in ballot to a center to have it still processed in some capacity?
Absolutely. There's voting centers. You can, the early voting centers, you can drop them off at. You also can drop them off on July 30th. So.
And so you're running in a Democrat primary for county attorney, a race a lot of people don't seemingly understand, right? The election process about how a county attorney candidate is elected compared to, say, the city of Tucson attorney who is appointed by mayor and council.
Yeah, so the Pima County is situated differently than the city government, and so this is an elected position, so the citizens of Pima County get to decide on how, who runs the county attorney's office, who sets policy for the county attorney's office, who helps protect them and keeps them safe and prosperous, who defends the county on civil action. So they have a say in who this is. And so this is what the Democratic primary election's all about. Who is best positioned based upon performance and experience and aptitude for this position.
And so how many people do you think are going to come out and vote in this Democrat primary? You've got to either be a registered Democrat or an independent who at this point has already requested a Democrat ballot to vote, correct?
Yeah, there's about 400,000 total Democrats and independents out there. I would certainly hope that everyone was active in voting and getting out the vote. However, you know, I hope it's the same number that we had last time, which is about 150,000. I hope let's get out and vote because your voice counts. And so the next 4 years, if you don't invest now with your vote, then, I mean, you're going to be sitting on the sidelines for 4 years. And so this is your opportunity to get in the game, vote, make your voice heard.
Now, this race may not be as interesting to some listeners as you might think, but it actually happens to be one of the most important races in all of Southern Arizona, if not the most important race. And fundraising supports that one as well, too. I've been involved in local politics for most of the last decade over here. And previous races, like when we got into mayoral races and things, sometimes raising only tens of thousands of dollars was the absolute summit for so many of these candidates. And it's looking to me, based on these campaign finance reports that came out on the 15th of July, that we're looking at you know, over $500,000 raised between both sides on who's going to be the next county attorney. And this is just for a Democrat primary.
Yeah, we're blowing past the $500,000 mark. And this shows the importance, because people want to voice their support. And one of the ways you do that, you submit letters to the editor, you submit op-ed, but you also vote with your pocketbook. And so you submit money to the candidate you want, because it gets messaging out there, it gets them vitality and running a good, effective campaign. So this is what we have. We have over $500,000 joint campaign season here. I mean, this is an exciting time. And so get out there and vote, because both candidates are out there pushing, and I need your support too. So
without a doubt, I think that in all the local races we've had over the last decade, I have never seen more interest in a race than this one over here. The op-ed battle alone over the last 3 weeks in the Arizona Daily Star has been impressive and immense.
I think the voters need to understand, we often get hijacked by national elections and national politics, but the most important office, arguably for me, is the Pima County Attorney's Office. They are the top prosecutor. They also represent the county. So if you are wondering what's happening to crime, if you're wondering what happens to holding people accountable, if you're wondering what's happening to the fentanyl epidemic, you look no further than your Pima County attorney. Those are the ones who are responsible. They're the ones that train officers. They're the ones who investigate cases with local law enforcement. They are the top law enforcement position in this county. So this is the most important position impacting the lives of Pima County residents. So you should get involved. This is so important. So get out there and vote.
And so this race, Mike, is going to be decided in the primary as well, too, correct? There are no independent candidates, no Republican candidates. It is you against incumbent Conover for the position, correct?
This is it for the next 4 years. This is by July 30th. You'll have the person running this county for the next 4 years.
And so you don't get sworn in early or anything like that. You still have to wait until the beginning of the year to take the position, should you win?
That's correct. I mean, you know, let's not knock on wood, let's not jinx anything, but the term starts early January of 2025.
Now, given that this is a Democrat-only race, I've begun to notice a bit of what I sort of see as an outsider here is a potential rift in the Democrat Party. We talk about a rift in the Republican Party quite regularly, and you see it in the congressional races, Kathleen Wynne versus Juan Ciscomani. And I've always felt that the Democrats seem to be a bit more united in their candidates here. But looking at this race, boy, it goes both ways. I mean, I read an op-ed just the other day written by State Representative Alma Hernandez that was absolutely scathing of incumbent Conover and her position that she had somehow helped with the legislation on cashless bail processes. And Alma Hernandez, like a well-noted state legislator, absolutely called her a liar in the newspaper. Like, how are we getting this rift in the Democrat Party? What's happening over here, Mike?
Well, I'm not sure it's a rift of Democrats. I think it's a rift of people who know what's going on at the Pima County Attorney's Office and people who don't know. And so the people who do know, they're disappointed with the office. They're disappointed with promises that have not been fulfilled. They're disappointed about holding people accountable. And those are the ones who support me. If there's any rift, it's people who just don't know or don't understand what the Pima County Attorney's Office does. For example, people tell me today, the restorative justice program under Ms. Conover was absolutely wonderful. Absolutely, there's absolutely zero cases under restorative justice program for Conover. It's amazing. Diversion has been dismantled. You've got issues with domestic violence cases being prosecuted. You have, the rift is people who know and people who don't know. And so that is the rift, not because of policy, it's because of people who know. Alma is someone who actually knows what goes on in the Pima County Attorney's Office, knows what goes on in the state legislature. So you have people like that. People who just turn a blind eye and just say, I'm going to vote for an incumbent. Those people don't know what's going on. And you shouldn't. You should be an informed voter, know what goes on in the Pima County Attorney's Office, because this is important for everyone here.
So there are well over 100 endorsements in this race, running from a number of incumbents that have gone to the other side, to the current attorney in Conover. And you've got about 85 endorsements listed on your website as well, too. That's kind of the who's who of the legal system here in Southern Arizona. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I think people just need to understand. I think the local political elected officials, local means statewide too, they gave their endorsements in the summer of 2023. I was in Pakistan getting my jaw broken, so I wasn't even a candidate for office when these political elected officials gave their endorsements. They didn't know who I was. They have not walked them back. And if they knew what goes on in the office, I think they would change their mind. And so, but people who know what goes on, the ones who support me, go to my website, look at the endorsements. You see people who are criminal defense attorneys, people who are prosecutors, people who are former judges, people who know intimately how this system works, all support me. You have political officials. That's why you don't want political officials putting their weight on the scale here. Every citizen's vote counts. Don't give up your agency. Research the candidates, find out who is best for you and your philosophy, and vote for that person. Do not give up your agency by saying, oh, I have someone endorsing him, so I'm going to follow the person who endorses. Do not do that to yourself. Everyone here is an intelligent voter. Vote your intelligence, research, and then vote the best person for the position.
I think one of the most striking endorsements to me happens to be Barbara LaWall, right? Ex Pima County attorney, Democrat, who won, you know, elections for a couple of decades here in the old Pueblo as well, too. And she's standing strongly behind you as a candidate. Can we talk about that endorsement?
Sure. It's wonderful that Ms. LaWall gave my endorsement, despite the fact that I wanted to run against her in 2012. And so despite that fact, we don't agree on everything. We don't. And so to this day, we probably argue on a lot of fundamental issues. However, we agree on one thing, keeping Pima County safe, keeping it prosperous. And we both agree on that. When you look at the two candidates, there's no difference. There's no choice between the two. You have Ms. Conover who has created what we call, like, you know, in the vernacular, a dumpster fire at the Pima County Attorney's Office. And you have Mike Jetty, who has proven track record for 17 years. So Ms. LaWall and everyone else is going to go, I'm going to go with someone who has a proven track record. And so that's why I have the endorsement of Ms. LaWall, not because we align on every single issue. That's not why. What happens is when you have two people vying for the position, you're going to choose the best one. And since there's no Republican, no independent, these are your two choices. So you're going to vote the one, you're going to support the one that most aligns with what you want in Pima County.
So I've never seen more op-eds than what's popped up in this particular race. Can you explain, like, how that happened, like the genesis of, are these like self-driven people to go for you, or is this something you've got to recruit to get them to do? How does that work? There's just been a lot of written pieces about this race.
I think a lot of this from I can't speak to the other side, but from ours is organic. People come forward and they write their op-ed. They want their voices heard about what's impacted them as a victim, the lack of giving their voice out to the community, to their cases, the lack of voice, and so they just want their voices to be heard by the community. Like, hey, you guys all need to stop, put everything down, look at this race and find out who is the best person for this position. And I think they think their voice is important to give information to the voter. And so organically, they write a piece to the, I've been humbled by the great support you get from people who just write and pen some of the most wonderful comments about it. So it's been heartfulfilling. And so it's been terrific.
No, I think it's amazing to see on both sides over here the passion for this particular race. The impact that this is going to have on Southern Arizona is almost immeasurable. Like, this is bigger than mayor. This is as big as Pima County supervisor seats, if not bigger, because this is going to change the face about how we prosecute crime here in Pima County. And those that pay attention to the streets, that walk the streets in a way that I do, really are going to notice, I think, a change, because we've had a pretty substantive change over those last 4 years.
Not only that, Grant, but I've been a white-collar prosecutor, and I guarantee you white-collar is coming back. I've been a public corruption prosecutor. I guarantee public corruption is coming back, I mean, prosecution-wise. And so we're going to have someone who's going to be at the forefront of making people accountable for these conduct that impact hundreds and hundreds of people in Pima County.
Well, let's break that down after the break. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Pima County Attorney Candidate Mike Jetty and Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to this rainy Tucson morning. I am Grant Kruger, your host of Jump in Tucson, and live in studio, we've got Mike Jetty this morning, candidate for Pima County Attorney. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, Grant.
Hey, looking at the Arizona Daily Star today, in just the last couple of hours, there's an op-ed piece produced by a Janae Page that's talking about how she was a domestic violence survivor and hadn't been heard by the current Pima County attorney. Have you read this article yet? Have you taken a peek at this one?
I have, and this is one of those examples of someone organically writing something because their voice has not been heard. I mean, it shows courage and it shows strength from her, so...
In just the last few weeks, there was an event as well, too, at the historic Pima County Courthouse, where a number of victims showed up, and it attracted media attention as well, too, to talk about how their voices haven't been heard.
Yeah, evidently these victims get together, and they were tired of not being heard, and so there was a press conference that I think Conover did on the Supreme Court ruling, and so they were like, what are you talking about? Why don't we focus in on the victims here in Pima County? So they organized a press conference at the old Justice Courthouse, and it was wonderful, and they showed that, you know, they want to be heard. I was really appreciative that the media covered it, because it was an important thing for them to step out, talk about their victimization, talked about what happens with crime impacts their lives, and It was terrific. It shows, like I said, with the op-ed, it shows strength and it shows courage.
So given that there's a number of victims out there just absolutely begging to be listened to, what would you do differently if you were elected to this position?
Well, you hear them out. You need to listen to them. And so you need to figure out, you know, how these crimes impact. I've been a victim prosecutor for a long time. And so you sit down with these victims, because crime impacts victims differently. And it's so to the core of a person when they get either sexually assaulted, physically assaulted, there's a homicide involved. I mean, these are things that it pivots your life. And people don't understand that if it hasn't happened to you, these things are material changes to your life and your core. And so you need to understand that and appreciate that and empathize with that. And then you evaluate that case separately. I don't represent the victims, but the victims need to be heard in my case. And so when I prosecute that individual, I keep the victims informed from the start to the end. And if there's something disappointing I need to share with the victim, I'm upfront with the victim. I share with the victim, this is how the case is going to proceed because of the facts of the case or the evidence we have. So you need to be upfront with every single victim.
Beyond just even domestic violence and drugs and other issues, there tends to be a tremendous increase in taxes of crime falling upon the business owners of Southern Arizona, right? This crime tax, as we talk about, is not a tax that you pay directly to the government. This comes in the form of increased security, graffiti removal, replacement of windows, replacement of stolen articles or things. I just had one of my company vans broken into 2 weeks ago, right? And they stole all kinds of accessories and parts and pieces off of this company van. And these are areas where my restaurants are located. This isn't in the 85705 in the rough parts of Tucson over here. And so to replace all those parts cost me money. I'm reporting those things now to the TPD and to the Pima County Sheriff's Department, because I've been told we actually just need to report more often. What do you think about this crime tax that's happening to businesses over here? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We know that most businesses are small and they operate on razor-thin margins, and the cash flow is important. So, but if your cash flow, if you're devoting money to replacing inventory or repairing repairing facilities or vehicles, it ruins your cash flow. And then when you pass that on to the consumer, it we call crime inflation. I'm paying an increased cost, you know, at the restaurant or at my store, and then don't even discount the issues that residents have with burglaries and car thefts and car damage. And so all this crime tax and all these crime inflations have an impact on us as a society here. And so we should be very upset when people like this happens. When crime like this happens, we should have a prosecutor who's going to step up, and we find the person, we have the evidence, we're going to prosecute that person, hold them accountable. And sometimes those individuals are, they're either on drugs or they have mental health issues. We'll give them services, but we need to have some accountability. There needs to be restitution, because some of these things are the most important things to the victim. Owning your own business, enormously important for a victim. Having your own home, enormously important for a victim. Having your own car. So when these things happen to people, you're taking some of the most important treasured items in their lives, and you're ruining it. So you need to have some accountability for the people who do it. And so I'm not saying DOC, Department of Corrections, for every single person. However, there needs to be accountability before we can have rehabilitation.
You seem to be garnering a fair bit of support from the business community. I happen to be able to have the good fortune of sitting in on the Tucson Metro Chamber Candidate Evaluation Committee, where they picked a bipartisan and independent group of both business owners and community advocates to help review candidates. And they put out both videos, which you can get on the chamber's website, and great. And looking at that, I think you got the highest grade of any candidate interviewed amongst that committee. Can you talk about that a bit?
Is that historically the highest grade too? I'm not quite sure. But
I don't know if they give you a trophy for that one or not. Perhaps the trophy is potentially winning an election over here.
I do. That's the bigger trophy. But I do. It was a wonderful event. I think Tucson Chamber puts us on. They have half Republicans, half Democrats who evaluate all the candidates who are willing to participate. I think Ms. Conover participated. I think her score was a 6.1 or something like that. And mine was the highest at 8.3. And that's not that I remembered or anything, but not
for
that
those keeping score at home out there listening at 10:30. Again, this is Pima County Attorney candidate Mike Jetty.
And so I think it shows that I understand. I got an MBA from Thunderbird. I understand the issues that a business faces. They employ our citizens. They provide the necessary restaurants and services and clothing and the food. I mean, all these things that we want for a vibrant community. So you look at the candidates and go, which of these candidates is best for me as a society here in Pima County? And they look and they grade it. And I got the highest grade. Not saying I'm saying that over and over again. This is, I had two very competitive triplet brothers, and they were very good students, and so it brings out that competitive nature in me to get the highest grade so I can share that with my brother. So,
and so I understand that with these two brothers, you're a pretty giving guy over here too. You had to give up one of your organs for your brother?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, this is, I'm gonna go, I have 2 seconds, right? Because I'm gonna talk about, I'm a huge pro-environmentalist, and the reason is because we grew up in Camp Lejeune, and people don't know that Camp Lejeune is the target of the largest tort case in U.S. history of the contaminated water.
I've seen the infomercials on that one.
And so my brother had some serious renal impact from it. And so he lost a kidney, and I lost a kidney to replace one of his. And so this is massive impact about how we keep our environment safe and clean. So, but he's the one he didn't steal my kidney. I mean, he kind of, you know, batted his eyes and cried a little bit, and I'm joking. I'm totally joking. But I was more than happy to give up a kidney for my brother. And so it ruined my college career, I think. No, but.
And this was at the University of Oregon, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, I wasn't that good, though. But. Oh.
So we'll take the highest score from the Metro Chamber. We won't talk about college athletic career then.
No. 8.3. I just want the listeners to know it was an 8.3.
In case you're keeping track there at home. So ultimately, you believe you could make a substantial difference here in Pima County. We've got 6 days left for people to show up to vote. Do you know the hours of those voting centers out there on Tuesday?
I actually don't, but you know what you can find that out is on my website, Vote Mike J. I mean, MikeJ.com, and you can look at this link right to the voting sites. It gives you the hours, the locations. It gives you a map, so you can just click on it, hyperlink to the closest location for you, type in the address, your address, and it will zoom in for you.
So it's possible that next week, by our Jump In Tucson show, next Wednesday, we might actually have these results as well, too. Or do you think this one is going to be something that we might not know for even a few days?
I hope it's over. The anxiety, I think we just want to end this thing. I think the community just wants to have you pick your person, and let's move on. Let's get the job done.
Without a doubt. But what would happen to the op-ed pages? Who would fill up the Arizona Daily Star if we didn't have this particular race, like a lightning rod drawing responses on both sides of the equation, right?
Well, fortunately for us, we still have a national campaign which has enormous amount of, you know, eyeballs on. So we have a new presidential candidate in the Democratic Party, which is invigorating and has a lot of energy, and with Kamala Harris, who, by the way, was a prosecutor, and we need good prosecutors because prosecutors have backbones, and prosecutors can stick up for people who need to be stuck up for, and go after people who are fraudsters. And I'm going to say this, maybe this is not a good audience, but you know, you got on the other side of the angle, I mean, you've got another candidate who isn't so, you know, correct with the legal system. So
understood. Well, we keep things local over here on Jump In Tucson. Sure. It's one of the neat things about this particular show and 1030 AM Bustos Media over here is that we try to talk about all things local and Pima County related. Tomorrow, we're going to have Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. On Friday, we've got the Dr. Ed Ackerley wrapping up on Jump In Tucson. We've got one more segment with Mike Jetty coming up, though, after the break. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us here at 1030 AM The Voice. I've got one more segment here with Mike Jetty, candidate for Pima County Attorney. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, Grant.
Hey, so we were talking before the break about, you know, just everything that this race encompasses, just the op-eds, the campaign finances, the endorsements, right? All the debates, the political events, the candidate evaluations, where you also got 8.3, the highest score ever perhaps out there. We'll have to fact check that one. But tell me about the endorsements again. Like, you've got a long list of people out there that are supporting you as candidate. Give us a few examples out there for the listeners of Jump In.
Sure. And the endorsements are all local. There's no one here from Phoenix. There's no one here from anywhere else, but this is all local, from Tucson Association of Realtors to former judges to defense attorneys to former prosecutors. You have yourself a huge list of endorsements from a slew of different categories of people in society, in our community. So from businesses, from, you know, like from Saba to the Tucson Police Association, the largest police associate union for the TPD has endorsed. And so I think every single union for from police have endorsed me. So everyone who, like I said, everyone who knows the system, everyone knows who has a say in this thing has endorsed me. And they're all local, they're all part of this community, and they all have, you know, something to lose if I don't prevail. They all have something to lose here.
So one of the bigger criticisms I've seen of you as a candidate in the press was that briefly, about 12 years ago, you considered a run for Pima County attorney and had registered as a Republican. Are you, in fact, a closet Republican or shill for the Republican Party in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I don't know if the Republicans believe in pro-choice, pro-environment, pro-universal health care. The answer is no, no, and no. So I don't think I'm a shill for anything. So I've been a Democrat my entire life. And the reason Barbara LaWall was the darling of the Democratic Party. Now, for some reason, she's not, but at the time, she was the darling. And so I felt that she wasn't doing a good job in the office. And so I thought about running against her in 2012. But I just wanted, for 1 year, I was a Republican for 1 year, 12 years ago. Chris Mays, our most beloved AG, was a Republican for 31 years. Mark Kelly was a Republican. Gabby Giffords was a Republican. Steve Kaye was a Republican. Let's just get over it. I'm a Democrat, pro-choice, pro-environment Democrat. Always have been and always will be.
Right, and people can change. Donald Trump was a registered Democrat at one time, right? So, I mean, I think people, ideas, even the political leanings of the parties themselves can change, even if people don't.
There's no way I'd ever be a Republican. I don't want to get into national politics, but the Republican Party is something that I, you know, no offense to you, Grant, or to any of the listeners here, but I don't agree with any of the philosophies of the Republican Party.
I understand. But I've just said that ultimately this was sort of probably the biggest argument that the opposition could make against Mike Jetty as a candidate.
It was diverting the argument from performance and accountability of the office holder. And so instead of talking about 17 years of experience, instead of talking about the trial work, instead of talking about the victim representations I've done and the advocacy I've done, we're going to find something in Mike Jetty's past and that, oh, we found something. This Republican thing 1 year ago, well, for 1 year, 12 years ago. We're going to find something. We're going to hone in on he gets support from everyone in the community, including Republicans, on financing. So we're going to find a donor, and we're going to hone in on a donor and say, look at this, everyone. Mike Jetty gets a donation from a Republican. Because of that, he should not be county attorney. I'm like, what are we talking about? We're talking about competency and doing the job and doing the job well. And that should be the criteria of who should be the county attorney.
So I think one of my most favorite op-eds I read about you happened to be written by your wife, Kelly, right? Like, can we talk about her support and the toll that a race takes on your family?
My wife's very introverted, and so, but she's wonderful. She's my best friend, and we've been married for 19 years, and she's 100% supportive. Now, I think she wants this thing over, you know, more than anyone else in the world. But so I couldn't have done this without her. Every single time I come home, she's supportive. Every single time she's got encouraging words for me. We always need someone like that in our life. I mean, I don't have that with my campaign manager most of the time, but I have that definitely when I go home. And so my wife has just been a rock that I use. And so it's wonderful to have her support.
It's got to be really tough to run for a race like this, to have your entire voter history and previous life absolutely picked apart by the opposition and the press, looking for a flaw, looking for some detail that might somehow disqualify you as a candidate. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, you can pick apart all you want. I mean, I've had a wonderful life. I've done a lot of community activism. But the funny thing is, if you dig and you find out that I coached for Special Olympics. I was a Habitat Humanity volunteer. No one talks about these things. But the only thing you find on me is Republican 12 years ago for 1 year. And so if you want to know me, Mike Jetty, as a person, look at my entire life. I mean, so I donated a kidney. I've been an environmental activist my entire life. And so look at those things and focus on those things, because those things are what Mike Jetty is.
Of course. All things local are really what's important here, of what touches on our daily lives. It's really easy to get tied up in national politics, right? It gets everybody's blood boiling over here. And I completely understand that. You know, I have my own opinions as well. But one of the neat things that we're able to do here on Jump In is to talk about the local things that actually affect your daily life even more than national politics, even more than who the president or our next senator might be. Your local Pima County supervisor may be decided this Tuesday. Your local Pima County attorney is definitely going to be decided this Tuesday. And there are a lot more things on that ballot than just the absolute cherry on top of the sundae being the presidential race that draws the comments, that draws the ire, that gets everyone's opinions. And I urge all of our listeners to look further down ballot, right, to these local races, to these local administrators, and even to the ballot initiatives that you're going to see out there in November. Some of these things are going to change the course of your life substantially more than who's sitting in the White House or who's sitting in the Senate at the end of 2024 as well.
100% agree. Vote down ballot. And so that means the Pima County attorney's race, it may not be as appealing as the presidential race. Maybe it's not, because national news dictates. However, when we talk about what impacts your life here in this community, the Pima County Attorney's Office, the Board of Supervisors, the Sheriff, those are positions that you're going to interact with on a weekly basis all the time. Especially if you get into the criminal system, either you're a victim or a defendant, you're going to be very acquainted with who your elected officials are. And so you need to pick wisely, because the victims who have gone before us know that having a good prosecutor is important. And for those, I don't have a crystal ball. This is not Minority Report. I'm not precog, but there will be victims again in the future. Think long and hard, because if you become a victim of a crime, who would you want there standing up and saying, quote, Mike Jetty for the state of Arizona? Who would you want that person to be?
30 seconds left over here, Mike. Where do we find information about you as a candidate?
Go to MikeJetty.com. Find out the polling booths. Vote. get the voting centers and then find every information, the endorsements, my history, my stances on every issue.
Hopefully we will have those results coming up for you next Wednesday, a week from today, on Jump in Tucson. It's been a very agreeable and enjoyable hour with candidate for Pima County Attorney Mike. Thank you again for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Grant.
Look forward to catching up with you next Wednesday. Maybe we can be having a pickle EG's on the last day over there to celebrate a campaign win. We'll have to keep our eyes out there for that one. Go out there, think locally, spend locally, and get out and vote this week, Southern Arizona. Thanks for joining us on 10:30 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Dennis Prager coming up next. Don't go anywhere.